Morning, everyone. It is Christmas time. Very soon it will be Christmas. After today, we've got 10 days until Christmas. I'm sure all of you know that. You've been counting down, marking the days off, as some people do. Some people are very excited about Christmas, and some people not so much. But we find ourselves in a very busy season, very commercialized season as well. The shops are full, people running here and there, getting all their Christmas gifts and getting ready for those lavish lunches and dinners. I wonder what the lead up to Christmas is like for you this year. Excitement, stress, rushing here and there, joy. You're going to see some family. And sometimes sadness. Christmas can be a time for some where we remember those loved ones that are gone. And this is the case for the Finns this year. For me, for my dad, he passed away at Christmas time. So we really remember that at Christmas, you know. It's a time of joy with the family and a time of sadness where we remember those that have gone. For Mary, the mother of Jesus, how long did she have to wait for the birth of Christ? 9 months. She found out 9 months before, and not very much longer than that. Let's pray, and then we'll get into God's word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for everything it tells us, and everything is necessary that is in your word for our instruction and for our teaching, Lord, and for just revealing your plan. And Lord, I pray as we look at Mary this morning and her faith, Lord, pray that you'd work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to Luke chapter 1. And Brother Ian gave the Bible reading this morning without knowing what I was going to speak about. So I won't read it all again. But he read from verse 26, and that's exactly where I was going to read from. Luke 1, 26. And we see this account of the angel Gabriel coming and revealing to Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of Jesus. And often we sort of brush over this point at Christmas time. We don't think much about Mary necessarily. We realize she was there, she was a part of it. But what did this actually mean in this young girl's life? We see there in verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, the angel Gabriel is one of the angels in the Bible that's mentioned, along with Michael. These were archangels, the super angels in heaven, God's best angels. And Gabriel was sent by God for this special task. And this is what God should have done. Sent his best angel to come and deliver this news to Mary. But where does Gabriel come to? Does he come to the city? Does he come to a palace? No, he comes to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, we're told, was a little town, a back road, a little place, a humble place. And Gabriel comes to Mary. Mary's a virgin, verse 27, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, it's very likely that Mary was a young girl. She wasn't that old. You know, she's espoused to Joseph to be married. She's betrothed. And this is similar to our engagement here. But stronger, if you're betrothed to someone, you may be betrothed for about a year, and this agreement was nearly just as good as a marriage. To break this off was divorce, not just stopping an engagement. This was divorce. And this young girl, Mary, she was probably not the average marriage age that we have today in Australia. I looked it up, it's about 31. The average marriage age at the moment in Australia. Now, I'd like to see that go down, really. And I did my best to get that down. I was married at 21. So any of you that are 21, I think you're a bit young. No. I look back and I think I was very young at 21, and Joanna was very young at 19 when we got married. But 31 is still fine, but I think we should be married a bit younger than that. Anyway, just a side note there. But Mary here, in these times, it's very likely that she was between like 13 and 16. Very, very young to be married in our standards. And so you imagine this angel Gabriel comes to this place called Nazareth to this virgin. She's never known a man, and she's 13 to 16. She's a young girl in a small town, and God's top angel comes to her and appears to her. What would she think? What would you think if you put yourself in Mary's shoes? A bit hard if you're a bloke, but we can think about this. If an angel appeared to you, and you're out in the country somewhere, and an angel comes to appear to you, what would you think? It says there in verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." You're favoured of God. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What does Mary think? Who am I? Who am I? What are you saying? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. It's interesting to note here, she was troubled at his saying. She wasn't, doesn't say there that she was troubled there was an angel there. And obviously she knew the scriptures and she read the stories of Moses and the burning bush and others and Samuel that heard the Lord speaking to him. And she believed these things. Even though it wasn't commonplace for an angel to appear in your room, she believed. But she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. A million thoughts are running through her head. What's going on here? Have I done something wrong? He's saying it's good. I'm favored. I'm blessed. Is he just saying those things because he's about to say what I've done wrong and judge me? And he's just making it a bit better? What's happening? I mean, I'm sure we'd be in the same quandary in our minds if we had that situation. She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. As we go through this, we'll see Mary's responses, and her first response here is fear. She's troubled and fearful. But we see the angel's response back to her. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." He repeats it again. You've found favor with God. There's nothing to fear. This is the Lord's will. I have come in the name of the Lord. Fear not, Mary. So we see this interesting setting. Nazareth, a backwards town, a young virgin girl, and an angel, the angel of God coming into her and telling her to not fear. You're highly favored. You're blessed of the Lord, Mary. Next we see the plan, the miracle of the virgin birth told to Mary. Verse 31 it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary has no doubt in her mind what this angel has come for. She knows the Messiah is to come. She knows he's to come from the line of David. She knows she's in the right place, but to her, would it happen to her that she would bear the Messiah? All these descriptions that Gabriel tells her confirms in her mind, this is the Messiah. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jehovah saves. He shall be great. And truly, Jesus is the greatest man, the God-man that ever lived. The ramifications of Jesus' life and death and resurrection ricochet throughout history and has touched so many lives and has impacted so many communities over the years. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Most High God, the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. She's promised here that this son that she would bear, Jesus, would become the king to reign on the throne of David. And we know this will come in the second coming when Jesus comes back. He will reign from that throne. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. It will be an everlasting kingdom. Mary was a believer in God. She knew these things about the Messiah. She knew there was a coming king, a coming Christ. There would have been no doubt in her mind what this angel Gabriel was telling her, that she was going to bear the Christ, the Messiah. Now let's see Mary's response in verse 34. It says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this be? Now, this is not a response of unbelief. We'll see this soon. It's not unbelief. It's not denial. It's not her being cynical. No, she believed straight away that it was going to happen. But she was just curious, how? How is this going to come to be? We can see this as opposed to Zacharias, who had a visit from Gabriel back in earlier in Luke chapter 1. And the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias and told him that his wife Elizabeth, who was of old age, would bear a son, John the Baptist. And this is Zacharias' response in verse 18. He says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. That phrase, whereby shall I know this? He's saying, give me something else. Give me a sign. Give me something to confirm this. He doesn't believe. He says, I need something else. You need to give me more. I can't just believe this. This is crazy. This is radical. My wife's too old to have a baby. So Zacharias' response was one of unbelief, cynical of God's plan. And we see the response of Gabriel in verse 19. He says, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. It's like Gabriel saying, what other sign do you need? Look at me. I'm an angel. Come in front of you. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Why do you need another sign? Believe. And we know he was given a sign. It says in the next verse, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Gabriel says, you're not going to be able to speak until this be fulfilled. This is real, but you didn't believe. So here's your sign. Here's your sign. But in comparison, when we look at Mary, her response is not one of unbelief. Just how? How can this be? Belief, but how can this be? And we'll see later on that Mary was believing. Verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And then we see the angel Gabriel's explanation in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So the angel gives an explanation. Now Mary is, she's given this explanation, but she's not meant to necessarily understand it. I mean, who would understand that? It's never happened before, never happened, will never happen again. But she's given an explanation and she believes it. What's Mary's response to this? What's Mary's response? She goes, "No way. That's crazy." Yeah, right. As if I, being a virgin, am going to conceive a baby in my womb and I don't even know a man. Yeah, right. What am I going to tell my neighbours? Oh, yep, I'm pregnant. Oh, Joseph. No. The Holy Spirit. What? It's crazy. What was going through her mind? What was going through Mary's mind at this time? Never happened before. Never will happen again. What's she thinking about at this time? No, no, I can't do that. No, I can't believe that. That's crazy. That's radical. That's... can't be. Can't be. I can't believe that. That's nothing like I've known. Ever. I'm too young to just follow what you say. That's just crazy. I don't know, what would it be your response? If an angel came to you today and told you something radical. What would you do? What would you do? But we see Mary's response. She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Simple faith. Faith in God. Here am I, use me. Incredible faith. Handmaid of the Lord, I'm your slave. Do what you've said. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to serve you, Lord. Whatever it may be. She was willing to do it. She would have known about Moses, how the Lord came to him and said, "You're going to take my people out of Egypt." And he says, "I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't do that." All excuses. She would have known that story. And she would have known the story of how he did. And God used him to bring those people out of Egypt. She would have known about Samuel and how he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Serve me, serve me." And he said, "Here am I, send me." She would have known all these stories. And in faith, she submits to what Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, has said to her. She believes and she has faith and she trusts and she submits. But there's a lot more to Mary's statement of submission than just simple agreeance to what she'd been told. What's the implication of this statement when she says she will give herself to this? What's going to happen? She's going to ring up Joseph afterwards and say, "Hello, I'm pregnant." That's the first thing. What's Joseph going to do? I mean, she's just a country girl. She's just ready to live a quiet life. She's betrothed to this good man. She's ready to get married, settle down, have some kids, do what her mother and her grandmother did, keep the home. And now suddenly, she's going to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah. Wow. Wow. How is Joseph going to respond? How's her family, her neighborhood going to respond? How are they going to believe this? How are they going to believe this? Maybe her life might be in danger. If she couldn't explain herself, maybe her life's in danger. And if you think about it, you know, as Mary grew up with, as Jesus grew up with Mary and Joseph in that town of Nazareth until he was 30 and his ministry started, Was there any indication through that time to all the people around her that this was the Messiah? Not necessarily. She's just signed up to 30 years of whispers behind her back. That Jesus, he's illegitimate. That Mary. For 30 years. And even after that, they didn't believe him. The people of Nazareth didn't believe Jesus. People of his own town rejected him. You know, faith is choosing to trust God when you have no idea of the how. You don't know how it's going to work. You don't know the end. You don't have it all worked out. You don't have all the puzzle pieces. This is faith. Trust God without reservation. And this is what Mary did. At the end of verse 38, it says, and the angel departed from her. And Mary's left there, sitting there, going, oh, okay. What do I do next? Oh, is Jesus in my womb already? Is he there already? What do I do next? Oh, yeah. Gabriel told me about Elizabeth. She's going to have a baby. So the next verse says, Mary's next move. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Let's go see Elizabeth. I'll go up the street, have a coffee. Except, this was probably a journey from Nazareth to the hills of Judah was up to 160 k's. It was a fair journey. Perhaps 4 or 5 days walk. Off she goes in faith. She's going to go see Elizabeth. She knows that she has a baby. And Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant now. So off she goes. And she goes to visit Elizabeth. You know, often when God leads us into something, he provides other people to encourage us. Other people around us to confide in, friends or family. Other people to get beside us. And this is what we are to do as believers, to edify one another and to encourage one another in the faith and in our walk with the Lord. And God in this situation provided Mary with this, her cousin, as a confidant, as someone who would understand what's going on here straight away. So off she goes to Elizabeth. We'll read from verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Maybe she gave her a hug. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Here, as Mary comes to Elizabeth, she receives extra confirmation of the will of God for her life. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost, and she says these words to Mary, encouraging her, saying, she is blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And she also says there in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed. She's talking about Mary. She's saying, you believed the angel Gabriel when he came and what he told you. You believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You know, God doesn't want to keep us guessing. He will guide and direct when we trust and obey without reservation. When we take that step and trust him, he'll provide signposts along the way that keep us on the right track. He will guide and direct us. He won't just throw us into the deep and just leave us there. No, he'll go with us. And we know God even provided Joseph with a message from an angel. In Matthew 1, we see that an angel came to him as he slept, and he'd been mulling over what he should do with Mary, whether he should put her away, And the angel says, no, fear not, take Mary to be your wife. God provided for Joseph as well. Then we see in verse 46, we see Mary's song of praise. It says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. What's Mary's response here? She says, Elizabeth, it's so great. God has seen how faithful I am, and I'm the best, and he's the best he could have chosen to have his son Jesus be born into the world. No, that's not what Mary says. Not at all. He says, my soul magnifies the Lord. She praises the Lord. No pride from Mary, only praise to her Lord and Saviour. We see that in verse 47. It says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. And this goes right against the Catholic doctrine. What's it called? Immaculate Conception. Of Immaculate Conception, which says that Mary was born with no original sin as well. That Mary was sinless. This goes right against that. Because Mary here in her prayer, in her song, she's saying, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. She's admitting she needs a Saviour. She's admitting that she's a sinner. That Mary too needs the Saviour that would be born. Mary needed Jesus just as much as we do. And we need the Saviour just as much as Mary did. We sing that song, Jesus be born in us today. And Mary had the physical birth of Jesus, and we have the spiritual birth of Jesus in our heart. He needs to be born in us today. You know, Mary cannot be a mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Mary was just a sinner like us. But yes, she was blessed among women. Yes, she was blessed. You know, sometimes we can look at those people that worship Mary and we can say, that's wrong. And we can go the other extent and we cannot even think about Mary. But we're to look at Mary. We're to see her testimony of faith. And what she did in her part in bringing the Saviour into the world. Yes, we don't worship her, but we can still look at her and her testimony of faith. This morning, I don't know how long I've gone, but the main point this morning that I want to ask is, if God were to ask you to do something radical, something crazy that you've never thought of, are you ready? Maybe God has asked you to do something. Maybe God is telling you to be a missionary somewhere. Maybe he's even putting on your heart where it is. Maybe he's saying go to China or go to Vietnam or go to Africa. Maybe he's told you already. Maybe you know. But you're like, nah, that's too radical. How's that going to work? How am I going to support myself? How am I going to do that? Maybe God's telling you he wants you to be a mother or a father or a school teacher or a Sunday school teacher. Maybe he's told you something that he wants you to do. You say, how can I do that? I can't do that. I can't talk in front of people. I can't do that. You know, God wants us to have faith in his plan. Yes, we have in the Word of God, we have the revealed will of God. We have all those things that he wants us to do. For every Christian, it says these things that we are to do. But then God has a personal plan and will for your life. Steps of faith that he wants you to take in his service and for him. And we don't need to know the end. We don't need to know how it all works out. In fact, God doesn't want us to work it out. He wants us just to have faith, just to trust, just to take that step towards him and towards his will and way in our life and let him do the rest. So this morning I want to ask you, are you ready to do something radical? Are you first being faithful in what God gives you day by day? You know, often we can look to the future, but we need to be faithful in the things that God gives us as well, day after day, and trust him. humbly trusting and being willing for God to use us in his will. You know, God's specific will in our lives is rarely exactly how we think it should be. It's rarely how we think it should be or how we think it should turn out. God's got something far different and far greater than we could ever imagine. And we don't usually know the full story and the ending before we take that step of faith. But God wants us to take those steps of faith first of all. So I hope this morning you're encouraged by the faith of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she was used in such a great way because of her willingness to believe. As Elizabeth said, you were believing. Believing in God and believing in God's plan and believing what God told you. And I hope we will take that encouragement and that example and think about how God is working in our life and what he wants us to do and the steps of faith he wants us to take. So let's just pray as we close this time, and then we'll sing a song, and then we'll go to the Lord's table. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would work these words from your word this morning into our hearts. Lord, we thank you for Mary, and the word of God says she's blessed among women, and thank you for her stance of incredible faith in you, doing something that was radical just because you asked her to do it. And believing that you would perform it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have faith like that. And may we trust you and obey no matter what you ask us to do. Lord, we just thank you for these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.